Thanks for downloading this podcast from Southampton Hospital Radio. To find out more, go to www.sohba.org. Now, the best of the Stuart Britton Show.
The Antidote to Christmas with Stuart Britton and my guest today, Mr. Mike Warner. Hello.
Hello, Stuart. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. I'm feeling particularly peevish because, of course, you and I have things to say about Christmas. And this programme today is basically for those who, even though it's Christmas Eve, are sick and tired of the whole circus already. We made a programme about this last year, and I think it's had lots of people who've heard it, and there have been some, even in the middle of the year, who downloaded the Antidote to Christmas special and listened to it, I noticed. So having put that out as a podcast, we're back with something more for you to sit and whinge about here on Hospital Radio. So there we go. Last Christmas and Wham!
Have you heard of this new thing called Whamageddon?
No, I haven't. Now, you asked me this earlier, and that was the first time I had heard of it, so I still haven't heard of it. What is Whamageddon?
Well, it's apparently a new little Christmas competition, and what you've got to do is you've got to try and get from the 1st of December to Christmas Day without hearing the original version of Wham's Last Christmas. And I'm just sat here thinking of all those people that thought they'd made it to the nearly midnight on Christmas Eve, and they've gonna win, and you've ruined it for them. So, well done.
Not intentionally. I certainly haven't done that intentionally, but, you know, there we go. Sorry if you were playing that game. Now, I should explain to listeners who haven't heard this programme before, because we made the first one last year and we're repeating the exercise this year, that the Antidote to Christmas special is for those who've had enough of it all. I think I may have said this earlier, and I'm just expanding on it now, if you've had quite enough of the whole shooting match. What really grinds your gears at Christmas, then?
Well, it's the usual. It's Christmas is deja vu, isn't it? Weren't we doing this last year and saying the same things? And
yes, while moaning about the same old holly, the same old Christmas trees, which have been wheeled out this year.
Yes, decorations being put up in public places, and you're sort of thinking, can't they buy new ones or better ones? You know, it's haven't we seen them before?
I think round in the area of Southampton where I live, I saw some Christmas decks go up in November, and I thought, oh, they look nice, for about the first time for ages. I haven't noticed them before until this year, and they're only, I think, stars with tails. And I thought they could look quite subtle for once, you know, not sort of punching you in the face, saying Christmas has arrived and it's way too early. I think this was early mid-November time.
Yes, well, it saves going to Blackpool, doesn't it, for the illuminations? You know, you can tons them in somebody's front garden and you're dazzled and blinded when you're driving down the road in an evening.
Don't know, never been there. So, Mr. Co-presenter, when did Christmas first come and smack you in the face this year?
Well, this year I can actually identify it as 9 a.m. on the 2nd of November.
That's a bit precise.
It is. I'd arranged to meet a friend at a local coffee shop that I frequent quite regularly. And I walked in and I got my coffee and I sat down and they played a Christmas song. 9 o'clock on the 2nd of November.
And you sat there and grimaced?
I did. And not long afterwards, because I frequent this type of coffee shop quite regularly, I know the area manager. And he'd walked into the shop to see some of the people there. And I went up to him and I complained. And he said, what's the matter? And I said, you've just played a Christmas song. I said, I'm not in a good mood.
Oh, yes.
And 10 minutes later, he came over and he gave me a free mince pie and he said, that'll make you more festive.
And I've got to ask, did it?
No.
You do surprise me.
Humbug.
So tell me, are you the kind of person that looks forward to this being got out of the way and then Cadbury's cream eggs being in the shop, you know, come Boxing Day or New Year's Day, whenever they turn up?
Well, when everybody say, what do you look forward to most at Christmas? I say, the 2nd of January.
So New Year gets on your wick as well?
It does, yes.
Oh, really?
It does, yes.
There's a whole other programme there I hadn't thought of.
I work for a company that's a major retailer, and in June this year, bear in mind this is June, I went in there, and in their building they have a layout, a mock of one of their retail shops, and on one row of shelves they were laying out the Easter eggs to work out how they were going to display Easter eggs in 2020.
Good Lord, that's thinking fast. Well, you know, there's planning and there's planning. Then there's that. Yes, now we're sounding like a couple of old farts on the programme moaning about Christmas. Now, you did tell me that that reminded us of someone, or reminded you of a duo.
Well, it was my friends. They saw the media picture we put out and they heard the show, and they said that we sounded and looked like Waldorf and Statler.
That really is rubbish.
Yes, absolute rubbish.
It's terrible.
Yes, shouldn't be allowed.
Boo!
It's all the Bears' fault.
Hiss.
Yes.
Boo!
Yes.
Hiss. Now, earlier on, you were talking about Statler and Waldorf, and I was playfully going into those tunes going, it's rubbish, boo, hiss, boo, hiss, but... Who is who, do you think? Now, bear in mind, the listeners don't know what we look like, so let me describe myself. Middle-aged, big, huge, Captain Birdseye beard, and a shaved head, because, you know, what else are you going to cover? The fact that I'm balding since I was 17 with. So that's me and you.
Large, tall gentleman with goatee and my own hair still. So
my beard's white, by the way.
Yes.
And your goatee is...
Going white.
Going...
Yes.
No, the top of it isn't white yet, but the bottom of it...
We've still got the ginger tinge to it, unfortunately, from my...
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yes.
Just a little bit. So, which one of us is Statler and which one of us is Waldorf, then?
Well, I know that Waldorf's the short one, so it must be you.
Me, short?
Absolutely.
I'm 5'9". I'm not 4 foot nothing.
Yes, who do you think you are, Napoleon?
So you think I'm the short ass? You are much taller than me.
Yes, I think everybody's a little bit of a short ass to me. So
yes, I mean, I was going to say you are much taller than everybody.
Of course, you've got to remember is that for when I played American football, I was Little Mike, because there is a Big Mike, and he was.
Would that be height or girth?
Both. He was 6'10". Yes. So.
Blimey. And there was someone I worked with who used to have to bend his head down to walk through doors, and you could see him sort of walking down the office from miles away, because there was no one taller than him in the office. But, you know, you don't think I do this for a living, do you?
You work? Well,
sadly, I do. The Antidote to Christmas 2019 with Stuart Britton sat over here, and the rather lovely and very attractive Mr. Michael Warren sat over there. I say that about everyone, don't get embarrassed about it.
Yes, I know.
I've known this man for many, many, many years.
You do say it more often to the mirror, though, Mr. Britton.
Oh, how rude. How could you? How rude. Yes, can you imagine sort of me looking at my face in the mirror going, yes, the rather lovely and very attractive Mr. Stuart Britton, hello. The only thing I do is try and mimic Leslie Phillips when I'm by myself and sit there and try and go the, hello, hello. And people, if I'm sort of not thinking, and I do it when I'm in company, people look at me as if to say, are you all right?
I've seen you do it.
What films have you seen this year?
The last film I went to see was Midway.
Oh, yes.
Yes. As a history buff, and I like American history, it was a potted history of the American Second World War in the Pacific. Graphically, it was a very good film, realistic, well represented. I only found two flaws in the film as a sort of like a errors of you know, they had a European Jeep on Hawaii, and it was a little bit frustrating, but a very good film. And if you haven't seen it yet and you're interested in that type of thing, then I would recommend seeing it.
I think that's got out of cinemas, but I think it's on it'll be shortly out on download and Blu-ray and wherever else you want to find it. Anything else that you've seen this year?
Well, I had to watch a movie the other evening. On Boxing Day, I'm going with family and friends to go and watch Frozen 2. Mm-hmm. And I agreed to go along to the cinema in Southampton to watch Frozen 2. And then I suddenly thought, I haven't seen the first one. So I had to sit an evening, get home from work, sit down with the popcorn and the Coke, and I watched Frozen.
How lovely. I and my godson went to watch that when it was released. And my godson is now in his early 20s, so he'll have been at the beginning of his 20s when we went to watch it. I got to say that I thought Frozen was okay. I didn't see the love for it that it's got now, I have to admit, or the audience it had. I watched it and I thought, right, it's a competently made story, you know, beautifully animated, and it did make you feel a bit cold. And from memory, the film was released in February. It wasn't released at Christmas or before Christmas. So it was I think it was an end of term or a half term film when it was released. And when my godson and I went to watch it, it was a case of, you know, it's actually quite lovely, but, you know, it I didn't think it would live as long in the memory as it has. And my only memory after that of Frozen is going to a family gathering, and a member of my extended family, they've got a little girl, and she loved Frozen. She came dressed up, you know, in all the Frozen bits and pieces. I think at the time she was about 4 or 5, and she had a little tiara and blue dress, and this musical handbag which had the tracks to Frozen on it, but without the lyrics, and you had to sing them. And she couldn't understand that because people hadn't watched it as often as she had, they didn't know what the lyrics to the songs were, apart from just repeating, let it go, let it go, let it go. And then it didn't become a repetition of the song, more a wish to be left alone without having to try and sing Frozen.
Well, I found that. I watched the film, you know, I'm sat there on my own and, you know, watching it, and it's sort of, oh, yes, I've heard this song. Oh, well, I've heard this song. And then sort of like, I didn't realise they were all from the same film, but I'd heard them. And I've got a niece that I'm going to be spending Christmas with the family tomorrow. And she's been singing those, and now I know where they're from. So,
you see, it's found a similar audience in your family that it has in mine.
Yes, yes, but not for myself. But, well, we shall see on Boxing Day.
Well, I haven't seen Frozen 2 yet, but it's on my list of things to watch, yes. Along with everything else. Film reviews that will be coming include Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker and Cats. We'll be doing a special for The Rise of Skywalker, which will be put on the internet before it's broadcast, because I think lots of people will have an opinion on how that saga is wrapped up. And I don't know about you, but I'm old enough to have been to the cinema to watch it when Star Wars was first released in 1977, all those years ago.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
It was a long
time. When we were younger.
It was actually Southampton Odeon when it was in Above Bar,
yes,
if you remember
and
that.
We were in junior school.
Yeah, we were.
Only just.
Blimey.
nearly seniors.
Yeah. Now I'm feeling very old. I'll dig out my Zimmer frame in a second. But yes, I saw the first film in the cinema.
Yes.
On free preview tickets, if you please. No one knew how big it was going to be.
Well, the only thing I remember is that we were going into town, and the choice was either to go and see Close Encounters or Star Wars. So they were both out about the same time, and they both lasted the time.
They have. So who was showing Star Wars? It was the Odeon, I take it.
The Odeon was Star Wars, and it was the ABC. I think they call it, is it still the Square Balloon now, the nightclub? I don't know.
It looks very shut.
Yes, it's been shut for a long time. But yes, it was Odeon for Star Wars and ABC for Close Encounters. I think we actually went and watched Close Encounters the following week. So.
Yeah, because EMI own the ABC cinema, and they put money into Close Encounters because their name crops up on the opening titles, doesn't it?
Yes.
EMI and Columbia Pictures and someone else, Amblin? It was Steven Spielberg, whoever.
I don't know if it was, because it was an early one. I don't think Amblin was actually...
No, but it was EMI and Columbia and somebody else presented, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and that I do remember.
Yes.
But, you know, when we had two vertically integrated cinema chains in the UK, yes. ABC and Rank, those were the days.
You know, actually, I watched Close Encounters the other week, and you know right at the very beginning where they have the air traffic controller and he goes, would you like to report a UFO? And they go, I don't know what it was. It's actually a young Morgan Freeman who plays the air traffic controller.
Blimey. People in films who've been with us for ages, there's a lot of that.
Yes.
You go back and look at some of the bit parts and carry it. Well, actually, no, I'm going to have a sidebar here. I watched Brief Encounter. have you watched Brief Encounter?
I have, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, you see Celia Johnson and Trevor Howard in this beautifully told love story, you know, apparently at Milford Junction. You know, this lady going, you know, terribly well-dressed with this nosy old bag behind the counter at the railway station, all the rest of it. And there is a scene where they go into a tea room, and they sit opposite each other and they have tea and cakes, and there's an orchestra playing in the background, and there's the most god-awful double bass or cello player, I think it is, in the background, who later crops up when they both go to the cinema. She's tinkling the ivories on the cinema organ. And that was an actress who later was in lots of, I think it was comic stuff mainly, called Irene Handel. But she just had a sort of background role in one of the most famous films the world's ever seen. And I'd only grown up with her sort of playing dotty old ladies and things like this in dramas and comedies and all the rest of it. And then you see her in Brief Encounter and you think, good grief.
If you want another one, then one of the TV companies showed a Dirty Harry trilogy and went back to the first Dirty Harry movie. Right at the beginning, there's the gunfight scene and there's the young kid laid on the ground and Eastwood goes to him, "This is a Colt Magnum, 6 rounds. Did I fire 5 or did I fire 6? Do you feel lucky?" And the kid on the ground is Danny Glover.
Blimey.
It just goes to show, when people are in entertainment, they stay there for a very long time.
Yes.
So, Christmas films. What films remind you of Christmas? This is a revisiting of last year when we did the same topic.
Well, the obvious one is the argument's even worse this year, isn't it? Because Bruce Willis has come out and said Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie. And what would he know?
But it's because it's set at Christmas, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yes. But something I saw is that there was somebody's actually sat down and measured every instance of a mention of Christmas or a Christmas tree. And I believe it's got more mentions of Christmas in it than Muppet's Christmas Carol. So it must be a Christmas movie.
What, in Die Hard?
Yes. There's trees everywhere and people say it's Christmas Eve and Merry Christmas and there's Christmas cards and there's more references to Christmas than you can shake a cat at.
Yeah, I think people sit there and go, Christmas film, brackets, not really Christmassy. Yes. My Christmas film is not really set at Christmas either. It's just shown every Christmas and I really like it. And I may have said this last year, but, you know, Christmas was the same this year as last year, so forgive me for repeating myself. That's The Railway Children.
Oh, it's probably delayed. That's why it's come around again. There's flooding on the line. We're going to have Railway Children again.
No, it's on BBC One on New Year's Eve in the morning.
You've even checked?
Yes. Oh, I love that film. I'm old enough to have seen that one in the cinema as well. But yeah. Anyway.
Didn't they do a remake of it where Jenny Agutter plays the mum?
They did. That was made by Carlton for television, and we don't talk about that. Yes. Because the Lionel Jeffries EMI version was far, far better. What are you doing now?
Well, I'm just going to be jumping off into the car, heading down to Gosport and spending Christmas with my lovely niece again. So that'll be a lovely job, you know. So, and thank you for having me again this year, and it's been a pleasure.
You are most welcome. I'm going to go home to my dearly beloved, give him a great big hug, wish him a Merry Christmas, and then work out what on earth to do tomorrow.
You could listen to the show back and have fun.
Oh, no. I think having made it, it's quite enough, and having inflicted it on the listeners. But anyway, you know, wherever you are listening to this on Amazon Echo, on Alexa, around the world, or in hospital, thank you so much. And from Mr. Michael Woolner and from me, have a very Merry Christmas. We hope that you have a nice one wherever you are. From us all at the studios, a very good night. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Southampton Hospital Radio. To find out more, go to www.sohba.org.